This morning's scripture reading is out of the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd love for you to open it up. If not, you can follow along in the bulletin. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 says this: "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they crossed over to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there, as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages and towns and countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them even touch the edge of his cloak. And all who were touched were healed." Amen. Well, good morning. Again, my name is Andrew Wormelskirchen. I go by Worm. I'm the pastor to children and their families, which means that I'm over birth through sixth grade, and that includes our confirmation class as well. I'm really excited to be here with you today. We handed out a lot of third grade Bibles. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing day where we get to take our third graders just to another level in their faith. And for them to actually make that commitment in front of a group of people that want to see them actually succeed in their faith. And for us to be able to do that today, we weren't able to put out the kneelers. And so I want to apologize on behalf of the kids ministry that we're not kneeling today for communion, but we are still going to have communion. Well, I want to open up by sharing a story about VBS over the summer. So over the summer, we had about 900 kids and about 300 adult volunteers for a week of VBS. And this week was filled with lots of chaos and destruction and lots of fun. I mean, these kids felt like they were never going back to school ever again. They brought so much energy with them every single day. It's like doing church over and over again for 5 days straight for 4 hours. Really, really difficult. And so one of these days I was leading, a group of our kids, and I was talking about Moses, and I was getting really animated, and I was getting really creative about how we were talking about the story of Moses, and how Moses was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land. And I was getting really animated about the plagues and all these other things, and then this kid comes up to me, he taps on my leg, and he goes, "Mr. Worm, Mr. Worm," and I'm like, "Okay, what's going on here? Where's the leader? This rogue kid is coming up in the middle of me teaching." And I keep going, I keep teaching, I keep doing this thing. He goes, "Mr. Worm, Mr. Worm." And I look down, and this kid has a snot bubble just hanging out of his nose. And I'm like, oh gosh. So I get done with my lesson really quickly, and we're, you know, trying to transition to something else. And I look down, and that snot bubble is getting bigger. And I lean in just a little bit, which is a rookie move. I'm not a parent. You know you're not supposed to do that. And I lean in. He goes, "Mr. Worm, Mr. Worm, I already know that story." And then the snot bubble pops. And I think through all of the stories and all through the germs and the snot of VBS, we are truly teaching the kids the stories of the Bible here at this church. And whenever I think back to our third graders getting their Bibles this morning, I can't help but think about whenever I first received my third grade Bible. My parents didn't have us grow up going to church, so I didn't know the Sunday school stories. I didn't go to all these things. And so whenever I received my Bible, my grandmother made me receive it with six other kids. And I just remember I didn't want to read something that looked like a dictionary. I mean, they pack all these tiny words onto this big page. I mean, all these things, I mean, they're so small to read. Like, how am I actually supposed to do this? Where am I supposed to start? I had no idea. And whenever I actually went to Bible study when I was in high school, Wednesday night, you know, you go because you want to hang out with friends, not because you want to learn about God, right? I mean, that's what you do in high school. And I remember I went and I refused to be called upon whenever people would ask me to read, because I never wanted to say the names, right? Have you ever come across a name in the Bible and you're like, how do I pronounce this? Or even a city or a town, you're like, what the heck? I don't even know the layout or the map of what's supposed to be going on. I had no idea what I was saying. And then it would say, flip to a certain book of the Bible. And you can feel that too, right? If you don't know anything about the Bible, all the anxiousness inside of you just wells up because you're like, where and what page am I supposed to turn to? I felt a great amount of shame about that. And I wasn't supposed to. I don't know why I felt that, because I was going to a Bible study. I was learning to study the Bible, right? I was learning where all the books of the Bible were. Whenever you come here every single week, we don't expect you to be experts or try to flip open to know exactly how to interpret the scripture. But I felt all of that. The Bible was confusing. The Bible was really, really hard for me. And whenever I reflect back on all of that, I don't really think that I really took time to work on it. I don't really think that anybody really helped me with it too. And it doesn't matter whether you're a third grader or a sixth grader or a college student or whether you're retired. I think that every single time we open up the Bible to read the Bible, I think that we all have a collective question that we want to ask. What is the Bible trying to say? What is the Bible telling me? What is the Bible really about? I mean, have you ever asked these questions to yourself before? Reading scripture and trying to get somewhere and trying to take it out of the scripture and have it be in your heart and walk away from wherever you're going to carry that. I mean, how do we know how to take the scripture at hand? And people have been struggling with this for thousands of years. You can read story after story in the Bible where people carry the Torah and the Word of God and carry it out because we just need for people to know about this. And people devote their entire lives to studying the Bible. I mean, I went to seminary. I'll tell you something. Whenever I was in seminary, I didn't want to read my Bible. When I was in high school, I didn't want to read my Bible. Whenever I was in third grade, I didn't want to read my Bible. Because the way that I was taught didn't want me to read the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever leveled with that before. That has welled up within me for a really long time. Whenever we started reading the book of Mark as a collective church a few weeks ago, I was trying to get myself on board. Listen, I don't have this like devotion that I do every single day, like for hours and hours, and even though I pastor children and their families, I don't have that time. It was really good for me to be with a community of people that read scripture together. And this past week, as we were reading through the book of Mark, we get to the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. Remember this story? This is a really famous story where Jesus feeds these 5,000 people with a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. I mean, amazing thing. How do you explain that to somebody who has no idea about the Christian faith? And as soon as Jesus gets done doing this, that he calls his disciples and he says, hey, I want you to go get in this boat and go across the lake over to Bethsaida. And whenever you go over there, I'm going to meet you over there. And Jesus didn't go with him. He went with him on a mountainside. And that's where our story picks up today. Mark chapter 6, verse 47, it says, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. Jesus was up on the mountainside. He was praying. He was alone by himself. Verse 48, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. This is a part of the story where it gets really interesting. Because Jesus had been on this mountainside. He had been there praying by himself, telling his disciples to go somewhere else. And so whenever he looked at the middle of the lake, he saw his disciples in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of the wind and the waves and all this stuff going around. And he gets down, he goes onto the lake. But when they saw him on the lake, verse 49, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. And he immediately spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And then he climbed into the boat with them. And the wind died down and they were completely amazed. Whenever I think about the Bible, I think about how the Bible can tell us lots of different things. But friends, I want to share two things about the Bible that every single time you can open up the Bible, you can get these two things out. And I think that this story perfectly captures how we can illustrate that for every other story. Whenever Jesus gets done feeding these 5,000 people, there's this miracle that happens. So how do we see this? We can see through the scripture this first thing of who God is. Sometimes we feel like God is really distant and we don't know what God is really doing in our lives. We can see the power and the authority and the divinity, this holiness, this thing that is set apart from humanity of what Jesus is doing here. We can see who God is through this scripture where Jesus is up on a mountainside praying, sees his disciples struggling in the midst of chaos, going down onto the lake and walking on water. I mean, this is something else that we can't really explain. You know the physics and the science behind water, right? Once you break the surface tension, your foot goes right through it. So how do we talk about this? This is our faith. Yet we believe and we put our faith into a God that is powerful, walking onto a lake. So the first thing that we can see through scripture is who God is. And the second thing is who we are. It's who we are. Have you ever been like the disciples before? In the middle of a lake, in the midst of chaos, waves coming over the boat, getting you all wet, wind messing up your hair. In the chaos of a conversation at work, in the chaos of not knowing exactly how a certain situation is going to turn out, maybe you just got that diagnosis that you never thought you'd get, or you don't know how you're going to make that next payment because of the paychecks that you have. Whatever is going on, you feel like there's this chaos that's going around you. Have you ever felt like the disciples before? You feel alone. I felt that before. And I felt like Jesus would never show up. But yet Jesus and who God is and who we are comes together. We find that unity through this scripture where we see Jesus coming off of a mountain, walking onto the water, into the chaos of what's going on into our lives. Whenever we feel like we're so far away, whenever we feel like God is nowhere near us, stepping into the boat, maybe in a moment where we didn't feel like it was going to happen, maybe in a moment where we didn't think that it was ever going to happen, or that it would happen a different way, stepping into the boat, calming everything. And yet today we gave our third graders Bibles. And we don't expect them to be experts. We don't expect you to be experts. But as a community of people, we need to be a community of people that rally together. And whether you're a third grader or in high school or retired, like I said, for us to come together to share the word together, it's important. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you of what it would look like to invest into the next generation to teach the Bible to them. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, he's asking me to be a small group leader in a kid's VBS, and snot's going to get all over me. I'm not asking that. I'm asking you to take a step of what it would look like. I would love for you to be a VBS leader, by the way. We'd love for you to be in a Sunday school with our third graders. We'd love for you to be with our youth across the street at Tolleson. We'd love for you to invest into our college students. Investing into the next generation so that this word, the Bible, isn't something that is just left on a bookshelf. But yet it's carried every single week into these walls so that we can open it up and figure out what God is and who God is and who we are. Because once we bring those two things together, it brings our relationship a little bit closer to us and God. And think about that. I want to close with this story. Last year during confirmation, we just got done confirming over 200 kids, and the service was really awesome. It was beautiful, and I was saying goodbye to a lot of our confirmation students and small group leaders, and this dad came up to me. He was a small group leader. He came up, and he said, "Orm, thank you so much for this year. It was really great for my son. You have no idea how much it meant to him." And then he pauses for a moment, and then I just start to see tears well up in his eyes. And he said, "You have no idea, though, how much this year meant to me." That he found that unity between who God is and who he was. He didn't start the year knowing what all the stories of the Bible was. He didn't start the year knowing every single answer to every single question that every single confirmation student had. He didn't start the year knowing exactly where to lead these kids, but yet it took time. It took the unity between who God is and who he was, leading and investing into the next generation. Imagine if we were a group of people that were like him, not knowing exactly where God is leading us, But trying to find that unity between who God is and who we are. Listen, we're all trying to find that, right? I went to seminary and I'm still trying to find that. Imagine what it would be like for us to be a group of people, a community of believers that came together to invest into the next generation of what these stories could really mean for their lives. I mean, you have stories of what these stories have meant to you. Or maybe your first time you're trying to figure out what all this means. Listen, we are here for you. So next time you open up the Bible, I want you to think about through the lens of these two questions of who is God? How is the scripture showing you who God is through the scripture? And the second thing is, how is the scripture telling you who you are? How can you find out a little bit more about you? Because once you bring those two things together, those two things coming together will bring you a little bit closer to God than you were before. So let's be a community of believers that brings that unity together. Let me pray. God, this morning, we are grateful with the confidence of your grace and the bravery of your love, God. We ask that whenever we open up our Bible, whenever we take that moment to be with you, whenever we take the time to try to invest into the next generation, God, we ask that you're with us. We don't always know what to say. We don't always know where to open up the Bible. But God, we just ask that we can be a group of people that come together that can truly explore who you are and truly find out a little bit more about us through the scripture. So God, we ask this all in your Son, Jesus Christ, holy and precious in a mighty name. Amen.